CliffCentral.com.
All right. Welcome to Belighted with Rami on Radio. Yes, we are chatting Zgupula.
This is how we used to get down. Remember that?
No, Romeo, you can't be talking about getting down. You're so tall. There is no way you're gonna get down.
No. Listen to my point.
Okay.
Remember, Rishapa step esela. We wanna sell a saujiga. You know, Kodesa.
Like,
yeah.
Bus stop. Kodesa.
Yes. It's like, where were you? Or na Rishapa di Kodesa di bus stop.
Hey, that thing helped a lot of people who couldn't dance. Could,
yeah. No. I'm speaking from experience. I get I can't dance. So,
yeah, but then you still mess it up anyway. Even that one.
Ah, come on, give me a break.
No, you do.
No, but I mean, you cannot improvise, anyana. You know.
You see, that is the whole point. You can't improvise when doing the bus stop because it's uniform.
Yeah, well.
So you're messing it up. That's how you mess it up and you think it's improvising. You are not improvising. You're taking everyone out of line and you're sidestepping while we are going forward. You're going
backwards. That's why I sit at the back. Like, I'm right at the back.
Well, now you're that guy who must take care of the bags, of the handbags, while some of us are dancing. That's what you
Shots
must
fired.
Do.
Shots fired.
Pew, 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 pew. Yeah. Good morning.
Man.
Hello. Hello, Maromza.
How you doing?
I'm fine, man.
How was your weekend? What did you get up to?
My weekend, actually, I didn't do much. No, I'm lying. I was actually supposed to be working.
Okay.
And I ended up not working because I had to take care of my child.
Okay. But at least it's a good thing because, I mean, I think there's no amount of money or amount of time, you know, that can replace the beauty of spending time with family.
Yeah, well, but then, you see, the beauty of spending time with family is not going to pay for my bills at the end of the month.
Ish.
Yeah, the same kids that I'm spending time with, they'll be looking at me like, so, what do you mean you didn't work?
What are we eating?
Yeah. But that's all I did. On Saturday, I went to see a friend at the hospital. And then I went again on Sunday.
Okay.
And then I took Wotila out for a movie. We went to watch Sing. It's a beautiful movie.
Ah.
So cool, man.
Uh-huh.
And after Sing, then we went to dinner with the older girls. Kifile and Titan didn't want to go to the movie.
And talking about REC, random kind, you know, it's RKA, right? Random kindness.
Random acts of kindness.
It's random acts of kindness. Are we going to see a lot of those in your next book?
Most probably.
Because
yes,
I think that's another life that a lot of people don't know about you. You know, they see you on the limelight. They don't know that in the background you're actually doing all these awesome things that go unnoticed.
I don't know. Those ones I must put. I don't know. Huh? No, those ones I'm not going to put in the book. No.
Remember, you don't necessarily have to say, but.
No, I'm fine. Huh? I'm fine. I love it when everyone thinks I'm a bitch.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm horrible. Yeah. I'm that like loud.
But the sad thing is, usually people who call you the B word are people who actually haven't been close enough with you to know the kind of cold person that you are.
Those that matter know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah.
Anyway,
cool.
And
how was
installment.
Your weekend?
Oh, well, before the next installment, my weekend was actually quite chilled. I went to church on Friday, you know, because a lot of fasting in January for a lot of us.
I know why people fast in January, because they can't afford food anyway.
Well,
you're blaming and saying, the Lord has spoken. Shame, the Lord speaks throughout the year. It is not just going to start right now in January.
Don't steal my shine. This
fine.
Is my
Tell
time to explain
weekend.
My
yes.
weekend.
Yes.
So, yeah, Friday I went to church, and and it was quite nice, you know, fellowshipping with the brethren. And then Saturday I actually decided to stay home and do absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was deliberate, like absolutely nothing. I just sat in, you know, stayed in bed, had food, stayed in bed, and just chilled. So that was, my deliberate Saturday, and then Sunday church, and then, you know, spent time with the family, and then, that was my weekend. I was not working for a change.
That's good, though.
Yeah.
So you're rested.
Yeah, no,
even
I...
You're looking fresh, you're looking...
I'm actually looking... I'm feeling it.
Okay, so are you looking ahead for to today's show?
No, definitely, because I think one thing I like about Belighted is we challenge people to get out of their comfort zone. You know, remember I did say we'll beat the light bulb out of you.
Yeah.
So it's one of those moments. And so is our guest. We've already belighted our guest. We really beat the light bulb out of him. He's still in shock since we told the masses that he is coming, and we've created so much hype and attention.
Yeah. Guys, let me tell you. Do you want to do the drum roll even this year?
You know what?
We must get a new one.
Before
that
we do the drum roll, there's
so
something
weak,
I wanted
though.
To do.
Okay.
I think we need to politicize.
Okay.
We need to politicize their WhatsApp number. You know what we do politically. People are not sending any. They're not sending us love on WhatsApp. And our WhatsApp number in the studio is 079-748-2090. But they're not sending anything. So it's like we need to get, you know what people would do. We go get a different number and send lots of WhatsApps. And then we just say, oh, this number is giving us love. But the number comes from us.
No, I'm not doing that. That worry me. Oh, no ways. People must just send
us political creativity.
People must just send us love because they can and they wanna.
Yeah.
And they wanna.
Yeah, but people must interact. But I think we're getting good love. Facebook, no doubt.
Yes, definitely. It's cool being on Facebook.
Yeah.
I know the Twitter world doesn't believe in Facebook. I love it when they say, like, something happens, okay, on Monday. They're like, oh, but wait, Facebook will catch it 2 weeks later. I think that is so rude. I'm like, why are you not showing us love? Why are you not showing Facebook people love?
All right, drum roll.
Okay, drum roll. Ladies and gentlemen, in studio today, we have the awesome, the sexy, the buff, the
Hey, well, the, I've got nothing to do with it.
the dish, the edible, the yummy, the chocolate.
Oh, what's that?
What do you do now? Okay. Let's go see Minya in studio. Let's go, chef.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, guys. Romeo, I thought you'd help me out there, stop something.
My man, usually I don't like stealing people's shine. I let people shine. Come on. This is belated after all.
Hello, Les.
Hi, Romeo.
Ooh, yeah. Messy
you know,
Lord.
Romeo, you're crazy, huh? No, I have. I'm sorry.
You know what, Joe? They give you the props for sweater now. Hey, this is like...
No, I've never. My... No, you're crazy.
I'm crazy.
No, not even a little bit.
But you see, what I like about Rami is the fact that Rami knows how to punt people.
I know she's.
If she had to come your become your manager,
no. I need to.
There we go. Chomusara goza.
Hired, spotted, fantastic.
Yeah. No, but wow. Social media, you know how to sell someone.
Yeah.
You make people believe that this guy is God.
Of course. I mean, hello. I was like, so, was he sexually black?
Hey, Baba, you're in trouble.
I know. I need to hire them.
Yeah. Welcome to
the show.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, see, you didn't bring us food, but anyway, we forgive you.
I didn't realize you were so early in the morning.
It is early in the morning.
I know. Hey?
But I was thinking, since you know how to whip up those 5-minute meals, you'll just, like, as you're driving, like,
As you're driving,
and then next thing you get a step out of the car, and then you're like, voila, I just made this on my way here, kind of a thing.
Yeah. And you know, typical humble chef, it does nothing very quickly.
I whipped it up quickly.
And you look at it.
It's like standing, it's got a tree in the middle, and like some nice juice dripping out of it.
We're getting hungry. Yeah. Okay,
now I feel bad for not bringing food.
Yeah, no, it's fine. We will remember that.
But people think I'm a walking fridge that I always have food in my bag.
Why don't you have food in your bag?
Oh man, come on. We chefs also. We are human, huh?
No, but then that's what happens to everyone. When someone is a singer, they go like, so you sing?
Yeah.
Okay, sing something quickly. And you're like,
we could say, hey, Baba, oh, so you are a chef?
Yeah.
Hook us up something right now.
Yeah. So I know there's a bottle of water in front of you. Now, listen, there's a bottle of water in front of you.
Yeah. What can you do?
What can you do? What can you make? Something quick and tasty and yummy that can just like spice this morning up, you know? Maybe you can blow into it and it's going to turn into sparkling water because I think that's still water. So it can go and something amazing happen. Yeah, shake it. It's almost sparkling. Yeah, you get you there.
Yeah.
Okay, but now, guys, if you don't know Les Dashef, you are missing out. Please follow him on Twitter. Follow him on Instagram. He makes the most beautiful, beautiful food. Yeah. Like, really. Like, you look at this. Oh, and the dessert. Mm. Messy.
Oh, you
and you know what? I look at you and your life is a miracle.
A miracle?
Your life is a miracle. Mm. I mean, you need to understand. If we can get into how you confidently, gave up your process engineering job.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about working for one of the most powerful companies in the country.
Yeah.
And you give it up and confidently so. And you pursue, you know, we'll get into the details of that, but you understand, for me, if someone had to say, summarize Less is life. Your life is a miracle. Done.
Yeah, tell us a bit about that miracle. What made you give up this whole engineering thing? Were you getting low marks? Were you getting 2% at school? And you decided, you know what, I'm going to leave and go cook something. Or what was that about? Yeah,
I wish it was that simple. What happened was I was a student at COVID, and I'm one of those curious people. And there was one of those companies will come to varsities and they'll do campaigns.
Yes, they used to do that a lot back then, actually.
Yeah. Actually, I just ignored them. And there was a mime. These mimes that don't speak, they just move and white gloves. And he threw a frisbee at me. And in my annoyance, I picked it up and carried on walking. Then later on, I looked at the frisbee. There was a website on that frisbee. And I went to the website later on while sitting in the computer center at.
Wow.
And that website was actually a whole lot of games. And so in our spare time, we'd go play games on this website.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, we didn't know that the company that built that website were using those games to test our IQ.
Oh.
So they were testing all these students' IQs at that time. Anyway, long story short, they tested 12,000 students. And from that 12,000, 50 of us were chosen to be process engineers.
Okay.
So I was about 20 years old, and you get given a check. This is what you're going to be paid a month. I mean,
a check. You get told this will get money.
You get told this will be your paycheck every month.
Mm.
You're 20 at varsity. I'm taking this.
But you see why I say your life is a miracle? Because remember, being at the right place at the right time and things follow you, that's a miracle.
No, it's true. It's true. And I never looked at it that way. I looked at it as luck more than a miracle.
Now that I look back
and I think about if that hadn't fallen into place, I wouldn't actually be where I am right now. I worked 6 years, and because I started out thinking I want to work this job because of the money, you're never going to be happy. And I was never happy.
Okay.
For 6 years, I put a tie on, actually down the road from here.
You actually wear a tie?
Yeah.
There's a tie that actually fits around your neck. I'm just asking.
Hey, Mama, you're in trouble, Mama. So we are clear. Disclaimer on my side. I am not helping you.
No, got that, yes.
Romeo, what are you here for? Yeah. Hey,
Rami, hit.
Okay,
you're not helping me.
Okay, fine. Okay, I'm listening. Okay. So for 6 years, we're wearing a tie with a shirt, right? It wasn't just a tie by itself. You actually wore a shirt and a tie.
I wore a shirt and a tie and a jacket, Rami.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Now, I'm interested to find out your belated moment.
Yeah.
And your belated moment is the light bulb moment where you kind of like said, 6 years, great, great job, great salary.
But yeah,
you know,
it stops
with
here.
A huge potential. Yeah. But today, this is it. I am leaving this. And you know that moment where you worry about what your boss is going to say. Yeah.
That, and when you're a nice person, you think about other people first. Mm. Like, if I quit, what about the rest of my team? If I quit, these people, they have to replace me. And if you quit,
there's black tax that someone needs to pay.
Yeah, that was the other problem. So you're like, what are my parents going to say? What are my friends going to say? What is my family going to think of me? I'm leaving a cushy job. I'm 26. I lived here in Polsov. I was earning a lot of money. And you go and you tell your people, your friends, like, look, I can't anymore. I actually wrote my resignation letter 3 months ahead, but I woke up one morning and I clicked send without even thinking about it. I told myself, look, you can't keep thinking. Just send it and
just
see
do
what
it.
Happens. Yeah.
But then somebody is going through the same process right now.
Yeah.
And they are dealing with a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear looking at the economy. I mean, chances are with you, the economy was good then. But now someone is going through a same thing. And if you had to share your belated moment with them, what would you say?
It's about believing. I've always had this self-belief for it. Okay, it will work out in the end. And also it's about the people around you. I had lots of people who were around because of what I had. And I slowly started cleaning that out and figuring out who are here because they love being with me and they love who I am. And people are here because they love the things I have. And you start filtering that out. Mm. And you have a honest conversation. You're like, guys, look, I'm about to take a huge risk in my life, but I'm going to need support. I'm going to need someone to be there just to talk. I don't need any financial support, just someone to unleash on. We tend to think our journey should be on our own and we must suffer and do them on our own.
Yeah.
But sometimes having a backup team, they're just to take the load off helps. And that's what I did. And I quit and had no idea what I was going to do. For a whole year, I was in limbo, but I was that unhappy in corporate. So, and push comes to shove, eventually something happens.
Okay, then cooking. Can we jump to cooking? Because
we're going to be hungry the entire show.
No, no, you know what? Because did you see what happened? When Lesego walked into studio, I introduced him to Gareth and Rina and some of the guys who came in. And I was like, this is Lesego. He's a chef. They're all like, huh? Like a chef? Really?
What does a chef look like?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, usually, I mean, when you look at those other programs, the UK programs, your master chefs and everything, everyone is just like, you can see these people know how to eat. You know what I mean? And then they've got this proper thing that happens. I don't know. And the way they dress, the way they speak, the way they, you know, someone can be explaining how water tastes in your mouth, and then they take a sip, and then they play a bit around with the water in your mouth. They're like, I think this water's from Mount Zion. And I think it was bottled around 6 a.m. in the morning. It has this tingy taste that like just like spikes at your taste buds right at the back. And it is kind of like soft on my palate. And you're thinking, it's water. It's water. You know? So there's this sophisticated thing that chefs have.
Yeah.
There's this sophisticated and very upper thing happening, you know, you can't just like, and even when they present their things, their stuff, the food, they talk, the flair, even the language, everything is, then you come across Lesego, and Lesego is like laughing in scones on Twitter.
Do you know what? There's actually a certain segment of my diploma where we are taught to do that.
Uh-huh.
We are trained, a chef is trained to speak that way. Hints of, with notes of, with a touch of, drizzled with, sprinkled with. We are taught to do that. And whilst I was training, because I had lived so long without actually understanding food, I was just a normal everyday person before I went to chef school. I told myself, look, man, this stuff, why do they do this? Like you saying now, why do chefs do this? And I started speaking out myself on social media, like, guys, come on, man. This industry I'm in, I mean, they're telling me about drizzling and they're telling me about sprinkling and come on now.
I mean, check how big the Salt Bay is.
The salt on there.
So, I'd like to take you back though. The time and the patience to study and become a process engineer took a couple of years until you finished. And then usually a lot of people would quit and start something immediately.
Yeah.
But the discipline to quit and go back to school. How would you explain that to someone who is again on the crossroads right now?
I'm someone who likes knowing how everything works. I have an opinion on everything. I'm sure
you've
seen. I talk about every single topic. And I don't want to start a business without understanding where I'm going. I mean, anyone can go open a restaurant, can open a catering company, can cook. Everyone claims they can cook. And my thing was, like, how can I go into an industry and have a company or a business in there without actually understanding it myself? And I started at the very beginning. That's where the process mind came. I'm like, okay, let me actually become a chef. I didn't actually want to be a chef, but I became one, so I understand what chefs do. Right. And the irony is what's happened now and what it has become. And I think that is why the brand has grown so much, because I took it from a point where I don't actually want to be a chef. I want to know what chefs do. So let me just go study it and take the mickey out of it and the salt bay. Just go at it like,
you're trying to make it normal and basic, like you're breaking it down.
That's it. Yeah. Just make it simple. What happens, take like, the snobbery out of it.
You're a kasi boy, so we talk.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you're like just going to take out the ala, when I get strawberry this week, you
rinta. Hey, but it doesn't mean you're taking away the quality.
Yeah, it's not
so it's just
saying.
About simplified for people, man. Why
so that people get it. Because you know what? There's so many cookbooks. And the way they write things, sometimes you get confused.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes they'll talk about baking powder, and you're like, baking powder, baking soda, bicarbonate of soda, then something of sulfur, and you're like, which one is which?
Yeah,
because it gets so confusing. And then when you want ingredients in, you get into a normal store.
Yeah.
You say to them, I'm looking for this. Like, oh, that's salt. Oh, okay. And I'm looking for this. Oh, that's black pepper.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm looking for this and this and that, that, but they're like these beautiful, humongous names that the normal people don't understand. And I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And but then, before you decided to get into chef school, have you always been cooking? Like, kohai or nonjo fry mai? Like, I'm just going to fry some eggs, boil some eggs. And, like, I mean, who cooks in your family besides you? I mean, well, I know now you're a chef, but clearly someone must have been cooking something in your house.
I come from a family of boys, and my mom, well, you can refer to as woke, as they say these days. She made sure we know how to sew, we know how to clean, we know how to, hey, frefa stupu.
That was that's us. A good mama.
Yeah, she made sure we used to iron our own.
Did you put Mangusha on your knees?
On your knees, so
taking me back.
You know, you put pantyhose on both your knees,
and then
you fret with your whole body.
And you tried to do a dance. And
No, and what color was your stoop? Was it red or
red
black?
One.
A red one. Ah, sunbeam.
You know very well.
And if it's too hot, you step on it when it's hot.
And you make sure no one walks on that thing. And then if you in a good mood, you make the lines. It's like a angle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us more about your brother. So there's how many boys?
Oh, there's three of us.
Okay. And you are what? Number what?
I'm the firstborn.
Oh, gosh.
Usually it's the last one who goes crazy and quits. But yeah, I'm the first one. And my dad used to cook, or he does cook. And we grew up, it was a normal thing. If my mom was tired, my dad would cook. And it wasn't a thing of where it's only my mom who cooks in the house. On weekends, my brother and I would also cook as well. So it was a thing where it wasn't classified as, hey, this is segmented for girls only. So it wasn't an odd thing when I told my parents, look, I'm quitting, I'm going to go to chef school.
Okay. And usually, Rami always asks this question.
Yeah.
And I look forward to hearing her ask it. But today I'll take the...
take so the question.
Bona, there are a lot of struggles that you go through, you know, the shift between, you know, process, you know, what to do. You took a gap year off. But obviously to be where you are now, there were some common mistakes. So, you know, if we can kind of like look at those mistakes, because I think the show is really about, you know, there's a lot of focus on you, but at the end of the day, someone is listening you know, going through and looking for a belated moment. So those, if you can remember one critical mistake, mishaps and those emotional decisions that kind of like would have derailed you, obviously, as you grew, the discipline came back and then you are where you're sitting right now.
There was a point where I doubted my dream. And when you start doubting, you try to get other people to buy into it. You try getting people to come and prop it up and back it up. And that's when I started involving friends and family and trying to get them to join the business. And when it's your dream, you can't sell it. You can't give it to anyone else. You're the one who has to push it.
Yeah.
And I realized only afterwards that maybe from the beginning, I should have been the one who had gone on this on my own. This isn't my first company. We started one about 7 years ago. It was me and my best friend. And I had been to chef school. I was the one who was passionate about food. And unfortunately, she wasn't.
Right.
And she was coming from an angle where she'd look after the finances and the paperwork stuff. So here I am pushing. I'm working crazy hours trying to get the knowledge into my head about food and trying to get people understanding food. And when your partner isn't someone who is that inclined, it starts pulling you down as well. So I realized, look, let me actually move off and go do it on my own. Let me push and believe in it myself. I mean, at the beginning, it is tough. The industry, people don't tell you how hectic it is at the beginning when you qualify as a chef. My first salary was what? 1,500 rand.
Sorry, like what, per hour or was that per?
That was per month, or just
per
for
month?
Petrol.
When
for petrol.
In which year?
Hey, Rami, I wrote about all the stuff. That's why I was like, let me tell people. You get kids who watch TV and they think I want to be Jamie Oliver. I want to be I don't know, Bo
Nigella.
Hey, and Bo Siba and them.
Yeah.
And they don't realize to get to that level. That is one out of a million people who are lucky enough to get onto TV. I'm so lucky. To get to that point, there's so much work. You have to actually build yourself up. You put in the graft. In your first year of being a chef, you don't actually cook. You basically, I won't say you're a slave in the kitchen, but you're
yes,
the person.
Yes, yes, I know. Yeah. You're the assistant. You're the one who washes.
People don't even know your name.
Yeah. And the spoons.
And these kids go to chef schools and then they come out and they go into industry and they're treated that way and they don't understand, like, how I've got a diploma.
And I'm a chef.
How, why am I not on TV yet? Mm. Meanwhile, there's reasons why you start at that level. You need to do the groundwork. You need to, and you need to believe as well. Mm. But in the end, there's a reason why.
But that's part of the discipline as well.
Exactly.
You know what? What I also like about your approach was that you wrote a lot of articles. And what today's kids don't realize is that in an article, it's actually knowledge sharing.
Yeah.
And when somebody reads your knowledge, you become more attractive to them. And that's how you get invited.
And you become more human as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, people like to interact and conversate with someone they can relate to. Now, if you go build yourself in such a way where I'm only this face on TV, I'm only this person who only writes recipes, you don't know anything else about my personal life, you don't know anything else about who I am as a person, then what are they buying into?
Yeah. Mm.
So that's been my approach. I don't know if it's a perfect approach, but that's how I approach it.
It's an approach that works for you.
Yeah. So people buy, and eventually when I open my restaurant, I don't want people coming to buy because it's food that has been done a certain way. I want them to come and support me as a person as well. And that is what the European chefs have been good at. Both Jamie Oliver, Gordon Ramsay, people support them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because there's a new restaurant that's open that's being
started. It's because he is there.
He is there. It is his restaurant they're going to support.
If you just tuned in, we are talking to Les the Chef, Lesego Semenya. He didn't bring us food, but we forgive him. I keep saying that. If you've got any comments, any suggestions, if you'd like us to send you his picture,
Maybe you've tasted his
food. Tell us on WhatsApp 0797482090, and we continue with him right now. But now, Kana, what is our Facebook thing? It's Belighted with Rami and Rovio.
Just
like the page and then find us there. Mm-hmm. And we are at Belighted Show on both Instagram and Twitter. Mm. But Lesego, what are your two brothers doing?
The brother just below me is a year younger than me. He is a quantity surveyor.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. So he was the arty one. I was an arty at school. And he used to draw things everywhere. And the irony of now I'm the creative one and he's in a technical environment.
Yeah.
And the youngest one is still studying. He, Cabello. He's the crazy one of the family.
Yeah. And you are telling us. Okay.
Yeah. No, he is. Yeah. The last one is always.
What is he studying?
He doesn't know. That's the thing. So he'll study. You start something. I don't know if it's a generation thing. He'll start something and then a year later he's like,
Know why I'm asking that question? Because it feels like it's like just like out of the blue. Because sometimes you find that siblings do influence each other.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Because now you are not the artifati, and then all of a sudden you thought your other brother would be, and now it is like you've kind of swapped roles, and then the other one is like busy doing this, then changing and doing that. Because I also think like what older siblings do sometimes influence what their younger siblings would, you know, because they look at you, they can see you when you're a chance taker, when you're a risk taker, when you're fearless, they learn so much from you and you don't see it. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you get to hear it one day when you're like 70 and your brother's giving a speech and he's crying. He's like, you know, my brother, I remember that day when you quit in 2008 and this and this and that. And that's what led me to some of the decisions that I made in my life. Okay. Now, another thing just sticking with family, because I want to know, Romeo asked you about your belated moment when you moved from corporate and you decided you want to do creative. But then as you were growing up, what has been your family's influence? And when I mean, I'm talking about your brothers, I'm talking about your parents. What are some of the significant moments that you can think of right now and say, in 1992, my father did this, or he said this, or something like this happened, there was a bit of a crisis, or there was a bit of whatever, but there's something that usually happens in people's families that are defining moments that every time you think back, you say, I remember that day, and that day was a serious defining moment in my life, you know. So now I'm looking like at a proper light bulb moment
yeah.
in
yeah.
family, you know, maybe something that your mother did or something that your mother does. It doesn't matter. Mm. Any one of them. And they don't, trust me, you don't have to go Deepak Chopra on me. I'm just saying that, just tell us, because there are other things that, like yeah. Romeo would tell you about his family and something that, you know, Nakongwe, someone says something, does something.
Mm.
And and they do it in passing, and they don't realize what it has
actually triggered.
The
something.
Cord yeah. that it has triggered. Yeah.
yeah. My dad's sister, my aunt, she was the what's the term? She used to bring the family together. Mm-hmm. She was the glue.
Yeah.
She was loud. She'd speak whatever came into her mouth. There wasn't any filter. Like literally, if it came into her head, it'd come out the mouth. Wow. And she was full of life. She used to have competitions with me. If there was a mokete gohai, she'd be like, okay, you make your stew, I'll make my stew, and we'll see how many people go to yours uh-huh. and how many mm-hmm. come to mine. Mm-hmm. And she used to make it fun being around, and she'd always make sure the family would come together. I mean, I come from a big family, but she would always say, hey, you guys are coming to my house, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the type to get on the phone and shout at everyone, and hey, you're coming, you're coming. And she sat me down one day. She was like, name me one cookbook written by a black chef in South Africa.
Mm.
And I sat there. I'm like, actually. And she was like, you're a chef, right? Mm. What's stopping you from writing a cookbook? And I said to her, and I got into the technical. It costs this much, and it's going to need this. And then she was like, what is stopping you?
Mm.
And she just left it there. And she passed away about 3 months after that. I was still working at a lodge in Mpumalanga at the time. And when she passed away, I had to ask permission to come back home and to do all of that. And I spoke at the funeral, and as I was speaking, I realized, no, actually, I need to focus on the ideas that she put into my head. And that was when I created the brand, the Lester Chef brand, and that is when I stopped working for people. I came back And I focused. I was like, look, eventually the cookbook has to happen. Eventually, all the things. She used to also say, TV, why aren't you on TV?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you doing stuff? She used to always get on my case about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her passing away was the catalyst for it all.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and here I am.
And you know, I can relate to that, and also just want to pass the challenge to our listeners as well, that sometimes we don't have to wait until someone passes on, because it hits you harder
yeah.
when now you are celebrating the milestone
yeah.
and you know they're supposed to be there
yeah,
and they're not. You know, when you are surrounded by family members and friends who are always encouraging you to do something and you know it's going to work, it's important for you to do it fast enough so that before they pass on, they can be part of the celebration. You know, you look forward to that moment when they say, you know what, I'm glad you listened. We are sitting here today because you listened, and we are celebrating. So I think that, because the same thing happened to me, you know, my mom has been saying, go back to school, go back to school.
Yeah.
And you know what, I'm going to graduate, and she's not there. And it's the most painful thing. Anyway, let's continue about your miraculous life. You know, talking about being at the right place at the right time, and you've worked at the Westcliff, Nikki Gibbs. You've worked, you won a pie competition.
Hold on, we should talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about the details of that. I think for me I kind of like belighted, you know, I'm knighting you, belighted. I'm trying to create a new dictionary word.
Yeah, you always and create words. Eh?
So what I'm saying is that such a miraculous life, because being at the right place at the right time, you know, there are so many people who'd give anything to work with Nikki Gibbs, you know, who'd work with the Buffets of this world. You know, it's like you were there and you made it happen. You know, in your lifetime, you can tick and say, I actually have done this. You know, if you could briefly take us through the process of that miraculous, you know, encounter before we talk about Ramiskota.
I have a thing where I don't like name dropping. And I think people...
Oh, but let's drop them here. Let's drop them like they're hot.
At Belighted, we celebrate you.
We drop everything
we
here.
We celebrate your life.
Drop that
your
name
awesome,
like
miraculous
hot.
Life.
Tell us.
Yeah. No.
Tell us about Richard Branson as well.
Jeez, you guys read the whole bio. Not
drop,
even like a little paragraph, the entire thing. When I was at the West Cliff, it was during the World Cup. And I was lucky enough. Okay, let me say who Nikki Gibbs is. People don't know. Nikki Gibbs was the private chef for the Rolling Stones. She's cooked for the Queen in England. She's renowned in her own right.
Ah, do you meet someone like that?
She was the exec chef at the West Cliff. So I trained underneath her when I was doing my practical side of my diploma. And she's also a she's short, little lady like this. And she is a bundle of energy. I mean, that image of a chef walks around swearing at everything, talking to the food. She is that image.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, she, and I'd sit there and I'd look at her, I'm like, but chef, you're crazy, huh? She's like, yeah, I am. I'm a chef. I'd be like, okay, let me channel that energy as well. And from there, I was lucky enough to cook for, I won't say lucky, but the Kardashians came in there one time. Reggie Bush. We had, Bill Gates, who visited one time, Alicia Keys as well. And they come through. But the thing is that everyday people.
Why did you not call?
Can you borrow me a pen? I need to get this guy's autograph right now.
Please. Please.
This is like so devastating.
Do you have a tissue?
Okay, fine. Alicia Keys, and then who else?
It's hot in the studio.
Already you've stabbed us. Like slice us, we are your steak.
Slice us, we are your steak.
Do you see how humbly dropping, you know? Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, like, but those are, the Kardashians came in. Alicia,
I like that, like, man. You know, when I grow up, I want to be like you, man. You know,
but
so
they're like
chill.
You and I. There's nothing different to them.
I like that.
They just have money.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, fine. Okay, let's just pretend they're like normal people. They're like our neighbors. They're like sitting in the next room. Okay, and
by the way,
else?
After this, I'm going to have tea with Kim.
Yeah.
She asked me for my...
Kanye was head called me. He was actually saying that he was thinking of coming to my house.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
just
very soon.
And you turned him down because you're busy.
I was like, sweetie, I'm so busy.
Okay.
Sit there with your book of Pablo. I'm not interested. That was me.
Okay, yes.
Okay, fine. And who else? Tell us,
so
please.
After going from the West Cliff, I worked as a private chef for a family in Irene. They made me sign a non-disclosure, so I can't mention what happened there.
Okay.
I think a non-disclosure...
Disclosure
goes for 5 years, so I'm going to put that in the book. Politicians and stuff came through.
Yeah.
Then from there, I worked at Richard Branson's lounge.
Irene is close to, is in Pretoria, not far from the water.
Are you trying to put two things together now?
I'm just saying. Okay, never mind.
They had money like the Guptas, though.
Okay. Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, no. Then from there, Richard Branson's lodge in Mpumalanga. I didn't even know he owned a lodge until they offered me the job. Beautiful place up there. And there you get the people dropping. Bill Gates came, but you know what Bill Gates flies? He doesn't use his name. He uses a pseudonym. So no one knows he's coming. You just see him walking through the door. Like, how? This is... the Steffi Graf as well, who came through there. Liverpool, FC I've cooked for. There's people, Elton John as well. They come... But you know what? They're all human end of the day. Like cooking for Richard Branson, there was one night at the lodge, we didn't have a menu. So every morning, the head chef would wake up and they'd write the menu for that day. So I'd walk into the fridge and I would look at what we have and then I'd create a menu for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And every day that would happen. So at dinner time, you had to actually go and present the menu.
Yeah.
You stand up at the table, old school style, and you talk the menu out. And he had all his buddies there. We did a calculation of how many billionaires were sitting at that table that night. And we just lost count. They were making noise. And he stood up and he started hitting his glass to get them to shut up.
Because
I was about to talk. And my line every single time when I did my speech was, "Hi, I'm Lesego Semenya. I'm from Soweto." Every single time. And he made a note of that. He used to call me that Soweto chef. And I always make sure people know where I'm from and that, look, you guys may be the millionaires and whatnot of the world, but you're being cooked for by a guy from a township in South Africa.
Yeah.
And so that's part of brand positioning.
Yeah, it's brand positioning. And it's also to give any kids who are from Soweto the belief that, look,
you see, that's lighting you can do this.
You can be there. You can be cooking for these famous people if that's what you want to do.
So there was a moment in your life where, like, these billionaires, they had to sit and keep quiet and listen to you.
Bill Gates had to not.
You were like, okay, guys, please stop with your accounts. Stop with your accounts. Stop it. Pause that money. I'm about to say something. Hi, I'm Lesongo Siminya. I'm your chef and I'm from Soweto.
That's it.
Yeah.
Be confident.
Love
where
it.
Love it. But famous people are just famous people. Eh? Yeah. But people are like cooking for everyday people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you my address after the show.
Yeah.
Because I know that you do foodie calls.
I've never heard that term until
I made it up until I saw that you can actually.
Call.
Yeah, you know, booty call, foodie call.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he comes to your house, you say like,
yeah.
This is a foodie call. Come and cook for me.
Foodgasm.
Yeah, yeah, and give me a foodgasm.
Speaking of which, people think we chefs... Yeah, no.
Yeah, tell us.
You know how hard it is to date as a chef?
Well, yeah, it should be.
You know, people expect you to be doing all the fancy food every day for them. Three-course meal all the time. Let's only do foodie call. I'm not always carrying food. But yeah, no, there was a stage when I was building the whole brand up. I was like, okay, let me create this. Rami went and jumped on it, this image. And I started posting pictures of me in certain outfits, and it was to create this whole hype around it. Mm-hmm. And do men not cook out there? I really as well know.
No.
A guy who cooks for some reason. Mm. Yeah, no, hey?
Yeah.
No, guys need to learn how to cook. It is the easiest way to certain things.
Let me tell you, on Insta, I can't believe this girl is just like, you're blushing, you're dying.
We need to
this
get her on
the
a
producer.
Mic.
We need to get her on a mic. What's wrong with you? Do you want to say something to Nisejo? No, but you're just like blushing and laughing. Like, no, what? Okay, listen. There's Ntombi Majene. Majene, go Insta. He said you were a DJ at her 21st birthday party.
Jeez, like,
that
so must now, have been 10 years ago.
So that you don't do
what are these hands up to, Sue? I think you need to fill me up. I need to just stand there and I need to get the feel of your hands because it looks like everything they touch, everything those hands touch become prosperous. Help me prosper, Lord.
I love music. I have a passion for music.
Yeah.
And when I was still looking for an outlet for my creativity, when I was working corporate, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So I used to write for a magazine. I used to play around with music. And I bought a whole DJ set equipment. And it's like, okay, let me see if I can DJ as well. Mm. So it was an outlet for my creativity. And I managed to get into DJing. But yeah, no, that.
So you did DJ for
real? I did.
Aha!
You know what really is coming across from talking to you is how you actually in parallel do what you do, but you invest so much in knowledge as well.
Now you have to.
And is it a deliberate thing? Because it's like from the start of the conversation is before I became a chef, I had to go and learn. Mm. So is that part of your, for example, your annual plan to say this year I'm going to do the following courses?
It is.
And why is that so important?
Knowledge is very, very important. I mean, for you to get into anything, you need to understand the history and the background to it all. Mm. For you to improve it as well, you need to understand why it was done that way in the beginning. And I want to own a farm now because I want to do end-to-end cooking where I have my own restaurant from the beginning to the end. I own the entire process. Mm. So I want to do a degree now in agriculture. And so I have this belief that you need to understand things from the very fundamentals for you to change them positively. You can't go into an industry, an area that you don't know anything about, and then you decide, okay, I'm here now. I've arrived. Mm. I'm going to change this up. Eventually, it's going to flop because you don't understand the basics. Mm. Everything needs a foundation.
Oh. That's awesome. That's just like, huh? Okay, now. Yes, why are you laughing?
I know, nothing. Just laughing at myself.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you're laughing at me. Okay, Lesego, we've got like what, 10 minutes left, ne? We've got 10 minutes left. Yeah, that's what happens on this show. We've been asking for a second hour, but yeah, they think we don't deserve it. I'm kidding, but I like what you said earlier that you used to every time when you state what's on the menu, you say your name and then you state where you come from. Because also you're helping the young ones who are coming up to understand that they can do it, to understand that they can, if they dream it, they can achieve it. Now, you also wrote articles for a whole lot of magazine imparting knowledge, like Romeo was saying earlier. It's not just one, it's a lot. I was like counting one, two, three. Okay. never mind. You wrote for all of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but now, what is your dream for the young people who are specifically black, growing in the township, disadvantaged? Some of them, this year as we speak, some are either repeating matric, some passed very, very well, but they don't have funds to go ahead, to carry on and all of that. And, you know, people, you find that the young people are just stuck up in a limbo. And and I also want to, I'm asking you because you are young, and sometimes some of our older wisdom nuggets, they don't work. Not because they're not working anymore. It's just that the young people, they don't identify with that kind of language anymore. Mm. You know, if you want to say it and you want it to go viral, put it on Twitter, put it on Insta. This thing now of sending a whole letter via the post office doesn't work for the young people. Mm. Even some of the wisdom that comes from older people. So I want to know, you, young as you are, what are your dreams and what else it is that you are doing to make sure that the young ones following, learning, and taking in as much as they can from you?
And I think, just to borrow from what Ramin is saying, and I hope I summarize that, is that you move from success to significance. Because you can really achieve so much success, and then you know, then you go through what I call a success void or drain. You know, it's like, okay, I've achieved this, then what's next? So moving from success to significance, and, you know, talking about giving back, you know, like a Lesego the Chef Foundation, whatever. So what are the plans around that? You know, just to add on what Rami is talking about as well.
Ooh, geez. When I went to chef school, the school I went to now for you to get that diploma is 180,000. Now imagine a kid.
That's like a Toyota Corolla.
Yeah. Yeah. Now imagine a kid from Kosoweto saying, I want to go study where Les de Chef studied.
Hmm.
How is he going to get there? There's no bursary there. There's no, it's not funded by government. It's a private school. So my goal is to eventually have an academy in Soweto. A proper chef school. I mean, all these restaurants that are in Joburg, they source people from the townships.
Yes. Right. Yes.
But those people are not trained in the townships. Mm. We have to leave our home environments and go out. I remember as a kid waking up at 5 to come to a school here in the suburbs, and we always commuting to places. And that is what I was inspired by when Richard Maponya opened that huge mall. And like, we can do this stuff for ourselves.
Mm.
We don't have to keep leaving our home to go and source things from outside. Why don't we do it ourselves here? And that is my ultimate goal. There's a TV show that we're going to start recording next month. I have this thing. Have you ever seen a cookbook that focuses on South African cuisine, like our black South African cuisine? And my thing is, we need to start celebrating it. We need to start looking at it differently. Just because we think it's mama's cooking, it doesn't mean that it only has to be mama's cooking. You can play around with it. So the whole concept would be me riding around South Africa on my motorbike. And we're going to go to the villages, to the mamas, and we're going to look at how they do it. And by doing that, we're archiving the old way. But then I'm going to also bring in my modern way, and we're going to twist it up. Mm. And it's also, it's showing kids that, look, we need to start believing in what we grew up with.
Yeah.
We need to stop trying to claim things from other places.
Yeah.
I mean, we have so much awesome stuff here.
Yeah.
And it's believing that, look, Kuhuletsko Soweto doesn't mean I can't do anything. Even if you haven't passed matric, you can work with your hands. There's so much you can do. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big advocate of education, but education doesn't necessarily mean books. You can go learn a craft. There's so much you can do. And hopefully by them seeing the stuff I do, like the cakes on my Instagram, all the cakes I put there, I taught myself that 2 years ago. I didn't do cakes before. And I just took some fondant icing one day, and I made a cake and I played around. It was ugly, but I kept on playing around with it. It was a handbag. It looked so bad. I was like, yo. But then you force yourself. You're like, no, man, this guy on TV keeps doing this. There's no way. I mean, he's human like me.
Yeah.
Let me keep playing around. And eventually something comes of it. Mm. Someone sees and says, okay, can you make a cake for me? You take a picture of that one cake. Eventually another person wants one. It becomes a business.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's about taking that first step. Try.
Yeah.
It's all about that. Just try.
Okay. Wow.
And I think a belated moment for me right there, and it's something that I always believe in, that don't share your vision prematurely.
Yeah.
Play around with it until when somebody looks at it, makes sense to them.
Mm, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. We are kind of out of time.
Mm.
And I like that I didn't have to tell everyone that you're a biker, because it feels like I don't want to talk about it. I just want to talk about everything that you do.
Mm.
And I'm scared of bikes, but can I get a lift on your bike?
I'll come pick you up one.
Please come pick me up. But it's been an absolute pleasure having you in studio. And I know I've been joking around because I'm a joker like that, and I talk too much, and I've been talking about what your hands can do and all of that. But I speak more blessings for you, because clearly the works of your hands are beautiful. And I hope that, you know, you can establish more your hands. And I hope that they carry you and take you to places that you've never imagined ever in your life.
Mm.
And not only take you to places, and also bring a whole lot of people to you.
Mm.
So that, because when you are light, you cannot help but attract. Even flies come and they flock towards the light.
Mm.
And we wish you more light,
more
love, and more cakes. Please send me a cake. Can I get it right?
I need to send an apology. So
we know how it will come. Romeo doesn't have a sweet tooth, but I'm sure.
Put a steak in the middle of the cake.
Yes. Romeo's a steak guy. He would love that. And he wants mashed potatoes. Every time we go out and eat, Romeo will take even the most romantic, menu. And he's like, can I have mash on the side?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I don't know him. I just met him at the door and we wanted to share.
You see how I fell in love with mesh Braaihaus.
It's not about. You know what? I'm just gonna close it there. Listen, it's been beautiful.
Thank you.
Hope to see you again soon. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you so much for coming.
And you're such light. And that was today's show, guys. We'll talk some other time. Next week Monday, and we've got DJ's Boo in studio. More fire by force. So we'll see you then. Be lighted, be good, be well, and stay bright. Thank you. CliffCentral.com